So welcome to our seventh session in the Breaking Free Forum. The title of the session is The Secret Power of Freedom from Your Challenges. Let's go through a quick review of what we've done so far in the first six sessions. In the first session, we went through Hashem's breath of love. It's an awareness that no one is ever trapped, because every moment of life is a loving gift from Hashem. And every moment of life brings a new possibility for love and for freedom. There are no exceptions, maybe Paro in Mitzrayim 4,000 years ago. And from that, we then went on to FACT, F-A-C-T, which is a wonderful skill to transform your negative thoughts. And I hope that you have been using FACT to see its immense power. And in the third session, we went through the inner circle, how each of us carries memories of deep, meaningful relationships. If we're caught presently in the addiction, obsession, challenge, then relationships fall by the wayside. But the meaning of relationships exists in all of us, because we all carry these memories of moments when someone touched our lives, giving us a great gift of love, caring. And then after that, we learn PAGES, P-A-G, we don't use the E-S, which is a way of transforming negative feelings about ourselves and our lives into more positive and productive feelings and attitudes. And then the fifth session, we learn centering, a way of achieving a sense of calmness and balance in relationships and social settings, and kind of enabling us to be buffered from the erotic feelings that we have as we enter into certain environments and interactions. And lastly, the last one we did was 2 weeks ago, Neshama State of Mind, which is cultivating a focus for a loving Neshama state of mind in Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. In this seventh session, we're going to learn two new guiding lights. One we've already touched on briefly in our first session. I've given it a new name, and I'll describe it in a minute. And the other is one we have not ever dealt with, but it's the initial experience that came before FACT and PAGES. The first is called the Golden Threads. And I'll explain why we're calling it the Golden Thread in a moment. And the other is called Flag, F-L-A-G, as in waving the flag. These two guiding lights are very different in the sense that Golden Thread relates to the ongoing flow of our lives, where we attempt to maintain our sense of balance and integrity, even though we know that we're at risk. But it's the identity that we have adopted in dealing with the challenges of life and the lifestyle that we have fallen into. But that's a kind of an ongoing flow. The second are the critical moments when self is in deep crisis, when we're about to be pushed driven to do something which is inherently dangerous for us and for others, and cements our perception of being lost forever. And that is the subject of FLAG, F-L-A-G. And we'll go over FLAG very carefully, because it's an incredibly important guiding light and skill that can make an incredible difference in your life. So we're going to learn these two guiding lights of golden threads for the ongoing flow of life, if we want to call it flow, or the ongoing day-to-day challenges, and fact. And both of them reveal the power that's behind freedom, and that's the power of inspiration. You see, the question is, or the real challenge is, how do we maintain our sense of inspiration, which is really the only way out of the trap, the only way out of the beehive, the only way off the flypaper, the only way to freedom. Both golden threads, in fact, enable you to triumph in somewhat similar but also very different ways, because they're dealing with different realities of the ongoing flow of everyday life as opposed to the moments of crisis. And we're going to study both of these very carefully. And if you learn them and utilize them, you're going to see a very significant change in your daily life. Guaranteed. So first, let's look at golden threads. Now, let me get to the name golden threads. I had presented this concept in its infant stages when I was first developing it, when we began the program. That's almost 2 months ago. And I called it then golden sequence. But a few weeks ago, as we were going through the Torah portion of Truma, and we were learning about the Mishkan, the name Golden Threads came to me as far more appropriate. Because you see, in the Mishkan, in the tabernacle, in that Kodesh Kedoshim, that holiest place in the world, all the tapestries, all the fabrics, the curtains, or many of them, were made by using golden threads. Whether it was the garments of the Kohen Gadol, or whether it was the curtain separating the Kodesh Kedoshim, the Holy of Holies, and the rest of the Mishkan. But golden threads are present throughout the Mishkan in their purity and beauty and rarity. So let me describe. I met somebody recently who told me, we were discussing addiction to cigarettes, and he told me that he had been smoking 3 packs a day. So I think there's some fireworks out there. I think it's still pouring. Okay. The boys are playing. Okay. So somebody was smoking 3 packs a day, an incredible number of cigarettes, also quite expensive. But what that means is that throughout the day, as he's going through his 60 cigarettes, he's forever either smoking or lighting one up or putting one out or considering whether he should take another one now or wait a minute or 2 minutes or 5 minutes, or before he walks into a meeting or after he walks into a meeting or before he walks into the house. Is always there. He is totally immersed in in the decision-making or the lack of decision-making of smoking cigarettes. Cigarette smoking became his identity. "This is who I am," he said. "I knew I was dying of cancer. I wanted to change, but I had no way of doing so." In the end, he was able to find a way out, but I don't want to get into that right now. See, so in the challenges that we face, the identity that we have, the identity that sticks with us, is not our real identity. It's an identity that is always aware that there is a woodpecker that's pecking away, telling us that around the corner there may be trouble, or there may be a stimulus, or the next screen, or the next picture, or the next person that we see. So even when all is quiet, the fear or the anticipation is always there. One never knows when it's going to strike again. Maybe it'll be away for a week, a month, 6 months. In a sense that the nature of who we are has been robbed. This is what I call true identity theft. It's not that someone has stolen our money. It's someone has stolen who we really are. Because every moment now becomes a moment, not between choosing whether I smoke a cigarette, but every moment becomes a struggle of what's going to happen next. What thought, what feeling, what urge can suddenly cross my mind, my body, my feelings? And it's driven by the power of memories, of the internal drives and hormones within us, pulsating driving forces. So the real question is, how do we retrieve our true selves? How do we retrieve a sense of identity that is not totally immersed in this false identity of the obsession, of the addiction, of the fear, of the anticipation, of the memories, right? How do we somehow create a life of love and meaning in Olam Hazeh, in this world, and which is the pathway to Olam Haba? How do we do that? How do we look at a person? How do we look at a picture? How do we avoid looking at a picture, avoid looking at a person? Enter a room without feeling that something can overwhelm us, overtake us, even if it hasn't happened in months. So I want to introduce the concept of golden threads, which I introduced 2 months ago. Golden threads is, the word in Hebrew is epismon. Epismon is a poem. It's concepts that create an ongoing sense of focus, inspiration, and belief in yourself. That you have a desire, an ongoing desire to triumph, even though there may be a long history of times when you did not triumph. Golden threads becomes a way of winning back your true identity. How to quiet that woodpecker, how to quiet that monkey that's kind of sitting on your shoulder, always poking his fingers in your eyes, your nose, wherever he can, to bother you, to, as they say in Yiddish, chepe you. That golden, that vulnerability, that fragility that you have, that where you always know you're liable to enter into a world you don't want to go into. So that's why the golden threads is from the Mishkan. It enables you to achieve an awareness. Now, so There are four elements to the golden threads. And each of them is addressed to Hashem. Because we have to remember, as we learned in fact in pages, that there is no solution, there is no curative power in the world. There is no healing, there is no freedom, unless Hashem directs us towards it. There is no thought, no feeling, no physiological reawakening without Hashem guiding us towards it. So each of these statements are directed to Hashem. And I'll describe them to you, and then we'll go into how they interact, and then we'll kind of put together a golden thread pismon or poem that I can read to you and you can listen to, you can write it down, and you can modify it in any way you wish. And so there are four elements. The first element is, it's like an admission, but it's not an admission or an admission of failure. It's an admission of an awareness of a challenge that you have. Right? And you're addressing this admission and this awareness to Hashem, where you say, Hashem, I am aware that I have a challenge, right? I'm aware that I, Shai Ostrov, am bald, right? I'm aware of that. Been aware of that since I was 25 years old, right? I'm aware of it. And that's the first statement. It's an awareness, an admission directed to Hashem with the goal of seeking help, right? With the goal of emerging from the challenge. I'm aware that I have a challenge. The second in the golden threads is another kind of awareness. And that awareness is Hashem, regardless of my challenge, regardless of what I've been through in life, regardless of the deep chasms that I have fallen into, oh, maybe over and over again, I am aware that I have a neshama. I am aware that I have an eternal dimension to myself that never dies, that is always pure, that is always holy, that is always loving, that is always caring, that is always sensitive, that is always, always alive. And it accompanied me into life. And after my 120 years on this earth are over, it will continue to live forever. And I have that within me. And we went through that neshama when we, when we discussed neshama state of mind, and in the number, when we did Hashem's breath of love. And this neshama is always with me and is guiding me. It wants to guide me to be a loving person in this world and to be a loving person, a loving being in the world to come forever and ever. And that's the second of the guiding lights, of the golden threads. The third element of the golden threads is understanding that my challenge that I have is not really me. It's something that entrapped me, something that pulled me in. I never really wanted to go there. I didn't daven for it. I didn't ask for it. And even if I had been curious and opened a phone or saw a video, I never knew the degree to which I would be sucked into this whirlpool that would overwhelm my life, right? So I'm understanding that the nature of my challenge has its roots in something that I never really wanted, never asked for. But once I was trapped, I have never been able to figure a way out. And that's the third of the golden threads. So once again, I'm going to go with the first three. The first is that I am aware of the challenge. Second is telling Hashem I'm aware of the neshama within me. The third is I'm aware of the roots of the challenge. And I never really wanted them. I may have become addicted to them. I may have been entrapped by the urge or the pleasure. But I understand now it's don't want any part of it. Right? And with these three, we take our last of the golden threads, and that's our focus and determination. Hashem, I'm focused and determined to fulfill my mission in life, right? Since I can see the first three, I have an overview which enables me to see past the challenges, past the entrapment. I can hold on to a feeling of inspiration that I am providing for myself to achieve my mission in life. And we'll go over a more develop sense of these golden threads. But what we're saying essentially is this pismon, this poem, this prose, if you will, that we begin to compose, each of us, and recite throughout the day, right? Our determination to reach our lives' full potential, to escape the beehive, to get ourselves off the flypaper. Whether we're davening or we're walking into an office or meeting with an individual that we associate with challenges, going through an airport terminal, train station, on a bus, taking a Shabbos walk even. But by using golden threads, you begin to observe the power of focus and determination to inspire. And that's an incredible discovery. It's almost like by reciting it, it's like people are walking around today in Israel with these yellow ribbons, a badge of courage, an ongoing reminder of life's true agenda for a man that may be like wearing tzitzis or tefillin or remembering his bris milah. For a woman, it may be something else, saying tilim, lighting candles, chesed. But once we compose our golden threads, this tapestry for the Mishkan, once we compose it and we recite it throughout the day, 5, 10, 15, 20 times a day, you begin to experience an incredible sense of freshness and Allah and being alive and freedom. Every time you use it, you become a different person. It's not that you were in a crisis before you used it. That will deal with flag. But you were going through life with the same dull drumbeat where your freedom has been taken away from you. And in this, each step, you're able to hear, sense a feeling of inspiration that you're providing for yourself. And this is what we call the golden threads. Now I'm going to read a kind of a sample, and I'll try to put this on the email that you get, and you can modify it in any way you wish, so you can understand how one composes this golden thread. So the first of the golden threads is, Hashem, I have a challenge. And you can then define what that challenge is. Hashem, I have a challenge that I look at things I shouldn't look at, right? Whatever you call it, or whatever it may be. It's between you and Hashem. He knows what's going on, and you know that he knows what's going on. And nobody is hiding anything from Hashem, so you say it. Hashem, I have a challenge. The second of the golden threads is, Hashem, you have given me a neshama that desires to guide me through life, a life of love and meaning and fulfillment in this world and the world to come. Right? Clear. I have a challenge, but I also have a neshama. And that's the second of the golden threads. The third of the golden threads is, Hashem, you are aware, why? That I am challenged by my past. Maybe in a habit or addiction I never asked for or wanted. And you, Hashem, desire that I triumph and succeed to live in my true neshama self. Right? Hashem knows your challenge. How could he not? How could it have occurred without him? Nothing occurs without Hashem. And you're saying, Hashem, you are aware that I have this challenge. You are aware that I never asked for it. And you are aware that and you desire that I triumph and emerge from it, a whole neshama being. And the fourth, which is a statement of inspiration, is, Hashem, I am determined to overcome my challenge and fulfill my life mission to live in my neshama state of mind, my neshama self, so I can live and love in this world and be next to you in Olam Haba. Say it again. Hashem, I'm determined to overcome my challenge. Right? And fulfill the life mission to live in my neshama self, so I can live and love in this world and next to you in Olam Haba. That's it. And these are the golden threads. And the golden threads is a guiding light. If anyone wishes to kind of fine-tune it, and I can try to help you, just you can email me at the Ostrov Breaking Free at Gmail. So that takes us through our first, the ongoing pace of life, the drumbeat of life that we want to elevate. But as I told you, there is another dimension of life. And that other dimension of life is when we're struck by an incredible typhoon, right? A cyclone. An overwhelming assault that seems to be unstoppable. No matter what we wanted, no matter how determined we were. A young man came to me the other day and said, you know, I thought I was past it. And I walked into my doctor's office and there was a woman there. She was not very attractive, but I was so overwhelmed by her. My fantasies went crazy. There was nothing that she, I, and I would ever have in common. I don't know why, what hit me, how it hit me, what the feeling was, what I saw, but I couldn't control myself. I went crazy thinking about her. I even wanted to make another appointment to hope that she would be there, right? I never saw her before. I'll probably never see her again. I don't know where it came from. So this guy, this young man, Benji, he was, didn't know what to do with himself, right? And he and I discussed it, and we gave him some ways of dealing with it. One way is flag. So the urgency may be set off when you walk into an elevator. It may be set off by a dream. It may be set off by a computer screen, by a newspaper article, by something someone is telling you. But all of a sudden, from nowhere, you're hit by this cyclone. And you don't know what to do. And you find yourself getting ready to do things you don't want to do. You know are gonna destroy you and others as well. All the promises you made to yourself. Because the overwhelming power of the urge at that moment seems unstoppable. The images that run through your mind, we call it runaway thoughts. People say, I overthink. Well, this is like a Ferrari, right? I sort of think for a $3 million Ferrari. Some idiots were buying, right? A Ferrari, 300 miles an hour. Right, a monster. But it's something that's occurring you don't know how to stop. You know, yesterday, the Parsha, the Shvua, overwhelming. The Chet Egel, and there's a Rashi, there's a commentary on what Moshe Rabbeinu tells Hashem. For those of you who are familiar with it, you'll know what I'm talking about. And those of you who are not, listen to this incredible Rashi. Moshe Rabbeinu is defending Am Yisrael. He's saying, Hashem, even though they brought the Chet Egel, the Egel is saying that some cow, right? Moo, right? A grass-eating cow took him out of Mitzrayim. How crazy can you be? What a lunatic. You'd have to be to say that. And there they were dancing around this golden cow. And Hashem is saying, I'm gonna wipe them out. I'll make a new nation. I'll start with you. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, I don't want you to start with me. These are your people. These are the people I brought to Mitzrayim. He said, and by the way, you gave them no choice. And this is, listen to this, this metaphor that Rashi brings. That Moshe Rabbeinu says that Hashem is like a king who has a son, a prince, and he feeds him all kinds of, you know, great foods, and he fills him full of wine. So he's tipsy, right? So he's nothing in life that is kept back from him. And then you take a pouch full of gold coins and you put them around his neck and you place him in front of a bunch of prostitutes, right? Who are hungry for money, right? And there's the prince, right? Tipsy, just had this incredible 10-course meal with filet mignon, whatever else they eat, who knows, right? Fine wines, right? How could he say no? He can't stop himself. His drives are in full gear, and they can't stop themselves. They want his money, right? This is a perfect storm. And this is what you did, Hashem, to Am Yisrael. You gave him everything to eat. You gave him all this gold from the Mitzrayim, right? You gave him everything. And then you put him in front of the Yetzer Hara, right? The Malach HaMavis, right? This malevolent force would trap them. And then you blame them, right? What an incredible mashal. Saying, Hashem, they had no choice. You didn't give them a choice. You can't blame them, right? Please give them another chance. And of course, Baruch Hashem, Hashem gives them another chance. Incredible mashal. So we see that all of our urges, everything, our thoughts, our feelings, our biology, our physiology, our behavior, all the results of these experiences. One guy told me, look what happened to me. He said, do you know when it started? It started when I was in the hospital. He told me, I was 11 years old. I was 11 years old and I took a shower. And some guys came into the shower and they said, don't make a sound. Two guys in a hospital setting, right? And you can imagine what they did to me, right? And I haven't been the same since. And people know, people look at me and they know that I led this life. I didn't know how to get out of it. I went for help. Nobody helped me. Baruch Hashem, this fellow, this young man, put himself together. But this is what Moshe Rabbeinu is talking about. There was no choice. This guy was molested in the shower of a hospital by two depraved animals. Right? So Hashem knows this. But nevertheless, the memories, these 9/11 memories that stick out in our minds, right? Don't get away, don't go away. You know, like the October 7th memories, right? There's so many people. They don't go away. How do we handle them? How do we emerge from them? How do we quiet them down? How do we find our freedom? And I want to teach you FLAG. And I want to tell you the story behind FLAG, because it's an incredible story. The story behind FLAG, and I'll explain what FLAG means in a moment, is that a number of years ago I was instrumental in helping a young woman get married. I taught her some skills, and she used the skills, and she found a wonderful husband. 2 or 3 years after she got married, I received a phone call from someone who said, you helped this young lady get married. She has 2 children now, and she's in New York. She lived out of town. But she's in, I think, Sloan Kettering with her husband. You see, her husband is dying of bone cancer, and he's in excruciating pain. And she needs you. She needs to talk to you. You helped her. And she's lost. And of course I went to see her. And I saw a sight that I'll never forget. So here's the sight. This young woman, maybe she's 26, 27. She's next to a hospital bed. The hospital bed has a man who looked only skin and bones, writhing in incredible pain. Above the bed, there's a picture of a couple 6 months ago on a picnic with their 2 children. Loving, smiling, a handsome couple. Like the world is ahead of them. Unbelievably happy people. That's above his head on the bed is this picture. And here she is, broken, her husband writhing in pain. And she wants my help, and I have no idea what to do. I have no idea whatsoever. In my entire career, I don't think I felt so helpless, broken. I went back to see her a few times, to see the husband, spoke to family. What can I tell her? I don't know. But a week later, I spent Shabbos with my niece and nephew in Muncie. Very fine people. And every Shabbos morning, I take my Shabbos morning walk where I do some thinking. Rain or shine, snow, ice, whatever it is, I take that walk. I took that walk this Shabbos to think about the program I'm presenting. Sometimes I think about people. But I was going to a shul that I never went to before, and I was told how to get there. To make a right, a left, a right, and here at Muncie. I don't know the area very well, and I'm walking. It's early. I try to get to shul early, so about an hour before. So I have time. And the morning is exhilarating. It is beautiful beyond description. The sun is beginning to peek over the mountains. You hear the birds, the trees. Right? It's a summer, but it's a cool morning. And I'm just overwhelmed, but I'm thinking about this woman and her husband. And I'm saying, Hashem, please help me understand what I can tell them. And as I'm walking over them, over on this, I realize I'm lost. I know I'm going. I'm not worried. Muncie, you don't have to worry. You're not going to go very far without seeing a car, a house. Right? You're not in the Ozarks, right? Not in the Adirondacks. You're Muncie. So I said, you know something, Hashem put me here. I'm just going to keep on walking. I have time. And that's what I did. I walked and I walked. About 20 minutes into the walk, I was so overwhelmed by the beauty of the scenery, of the trees, of the sun, of the birds, of the flowers, wherever I was going, of the meadows I saw even there, that I said, Hashem, what a beautiful world you created, right? And I began to understand the meaning at that moment, that by appreciating the gift of life, Hashem gives, it transformed me. I was no longer perplexed as I was. I cared. I cared very deeply. But I wasn't under this pall, under this fog, under this cloud. I suddenly understood that there's a Hashem that loves, that cares. I had tapped into the meaning of appreciation of Hashem's love at that moment, which is really the basis of everything that I teach, pages, fact, and now flag. And from that walk, I continued to walk and to work out the elements of flag. And I'm going to show them, share them with you in a minute, a couple of minutes, which in many ways was very helpful to her. Her husband died shortly after, and she did enormous, enormous work. A broken person, bringing herself back to life. But what I discovered, I have taught to countless people, and I want to teach it to you. Originally, the concept of flag was about how to deal with life's challenges, life's nisyonos, life's tragedies, and how to know that we have the ability to overcome them. Hashem gives us the ability to overcome every tragedy that comes our way, right? But now I want to share with you how I believe you can use it in these moments of crisis, right? And I want to describe how FLAG, what's the FLAG, the acronym, what it stands for, and how you can use it. And once you learn flag, whether you're Benji in the doctor's office, right, or whether you're walking into an elevator and you're triggered by something, right, or you hear or you see or you think of something that you've an urge that's overwhelming, and you use flag, you're going to find a power within yourself to emerge from that moment and grow. So let's look at flag, okay? So flag has four parts. The F stands for freedom, in the same way that the F stands for freedom in fact, right? You're saying, Hashem, I have this urge. Hashem, I have this desire. Hashem, I have this power within me that I don't know how to quiet it down. Please, Hashem, help me gain freedom from whatever it is that I'm experiencing. Maybe I'm in my car, I'm driving someplace, I don't want to go there. I know where it's going to lead to. I know what it's going to be like once I get there and do something I don't want to do. Hashem, please give me the freedom to regain my free will and do what's right. Right? Only you can help me. That's the F in flag. The L is similar to appreciation, but I had to create a word, so we came with the word flag. So we use the word love, right? But it really is appreciation. It's Hashem, I appreciate. And that's where we take a breath. And we'll go over this more carefully in a few moments. But I appreciate Hashem, that it is you who are giving me life at this very moment, right? Because you love me. And because you want me to live in Olam HaZeh and Olam HaBo, you want me, you love me, even though I'm in this car and I'm driving someplace I don't want to go to, or I'm doing something I don't want to do, or I'm watching something I don't want to watch. I know that you love me, because I wouldn't be alive without it. My life is a gift of your love. Every moment. As Chazal says, Kol Neshima V'Neshima, every breath, right? And that's the second, that's the L in flag. The A in flag is acceptance. What's the acceptance here? The acceptance is that I have two choices in front of me, right? I accept, on the one hand, a drive and an urge that is in front of me. I see it. I feel it. It's overwhelming. It may be leading to my death, spiritually or even physically, eventually, or the death of my family or my marriage or my relationships or my self-esteem, right? Or my Olam Haba. But still, I'm being driven to go there, to do it, and I can't stop myself. But I also have two choices, and the other choice is to choose life, to choose Hashem, to choose Hashem's love, now and forever. I have this choice in front of me, right? So I have two choices in front of me, like two mountains. One is bare and one is verdant, right? One has death and one has life. And I accept the choices in front of me. And that's the A, to accept the choices between life and death, between the habit, the addiction, and Hashem's love, right? And the G is gratitude. What's the gratitude? The gratitude is that once I have these two choices in front of me, you will discover you're not going to take that choice of death. You're only going to choose Hashem. you'll see, you'll try it. And when you do that, you have discovered the power of inspiration. You've discovered the power of inspiration to lift you beyond what you thought was an impossible entrapment. I can't convince you, you're going to have to try it, and you'll see. And the gratitude is how grateful I am that I have discovered that I can be inspired, and my inspiration leads to my freedom, right? And that's in the moment of crisis. That's when you're in that doctor's office, in that car, ready to open up that screen to someplace you don't want to go to. That's flag. Wait, let's go over one more time now. We'll be a little more precise. So the first statement, and they're all to Hashem. Hashem, please help me gain freedom from this moment, from this taiva, from this urge, whatever you want to call it, right? That I'm presently experiencing. That's the first. The second is, you take a breath. It's important to take a breath. It shows you that. I just want to explain one thing about a breath. Did you know that every breath you take, you have to take in 20 to the power of 25 molecules, which is called 25 sextillion molecules, which is an impossibility. It's enough zeros to fill, you know, Yankee Stadium, right? Unbelievable. And every breath of the thousands of breaths that you take every day, you're taking in these 25 sextillion molecules. No one even asks, how could it be that you're feeding 7 trillion cells of your body with every breath, and no one ever says, incredible, right? No, it's just part of nature, right? The lunacy of secularism, right? Crazy people. So you take that breath, and you say, breath, Hashem, I'm aware that you, every life you give me, the breath of love, because you love me and you want me to live a life of love, and you want me to live next to you forever in Olam Haba. And then you go into A. So that was L. You had F, freedom. L is love. A is acceptance. Hashem, I accept my challenge that stands before me, to choose between the urge that leads to my death and, or to choose you that leads to my life now and forever and ever. And once you accept that, you are now catapulted into a new category of awareness, that you have bechira, that you've inspired yourself. And you say, Hashem, I'm grateful. That's the G. I'm grateful that you have enabled me, right, to make this choice, that I'm choosing life and eternity over death. Right? F-L-A-G. Flag. That's what these 4 letters represent. So once again, for the moment to moment ongoing flow of life, struggles of life, we have the golden thread, and for the crises that hit us like a storm, like a cyclone, we have FLAG flag. So we only have a couple of minutes left. I'm going to try to see if we can unmute anybody who wants to ask me or anything or... Okay. We can chat. Anybody wants to send me a chat, we do that, or we can unmute if you want to do that as well. Good. Any questions, any thoughts? If not, then I think we will end this meeting. I hope you got something out of it, and you'll get the recording, and I hope that you listen to it and practice golden threads and practice flag, and you'll see wonderful changes that you never dreamed possible. So, so Bez Hashem, we will once again continue next week. I may change the time. I have to go to a wedding, but I may do it a little bit earlier, but you'll be notified. Somebody sent here, gratitude comes after we have already made our decision to stop. Yes, once we see, once we have the choice in front of us, you'll find how easy it is to hold on to that choice. And the gratitude is thank you for enabling me to make this choice. It's a new discovery that we never had before. That's right. Gratitude comes after we already have made our decision to stop, yes. And once you do it, you're going to find how exhilarating it is. You're very welcome. I wish you all Hatzlacha Rabba. And hope you had a wonderful Purim. And you can take the Simcha with you throughout the year. And we should all see many Nisim, both in your lives and the lives of all Klal Yisrael. Have a wonderful evening. Bye-bye.